We started our scripture from Luke. We're reading from Luke 24, and we read verses 1 through 6 at that particular service, which is that moment when Mary runs with the other women, or walks, I guess, to the garden and then leaves by running. And we pick up here in the other half of that scripture, verses 7 through 12, and this is after Mary has met Jesus, and she's speaking to him. And in verse 7 it says, "Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Then they remembered his words. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he bent over to look inside, he saw only the linen cloth. Then he returned home, wondering what had happened." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. On Easter morning, when we gather for our sunrise service, we often get together and think about what it was like that morning to be Mary as she approached the garden in that same place. And the last time she was there was when they carried Jesus' lifeless body and placed him in the tomb. We imagine her shock and her pondering the moment. The shock is kind of funnier now because, you know, you gotta love kids, right? And we had 20 little ones up there for worship at Rich Hill. And the lady who did the children's message gave them all a piece of gum. And when they opened the gum, guess what? The wrapper was empty. And one of the kids opened it up and he goes, "How dare you?" And it was so funny. And I thought, do you suspect that that's what it's like when you saw the empty? How dare you? I just thought he was so perfect. And so it's funnier now, thinking about that moment and her shock when the rock was gone. We ponder the moment that Jesus first spoke to her and remember that she had no idea who Jesus was in that moment. My screen keeps disappearing on me today. Ugh. We run with Mary back to the room where she had left the disciples as she was journeying to the tomb. We can almost feel how breathless she was as she tells everybody what happened. Then, typically, when we're going through that story, we shift our attention away from Mary and put it on to Peter and John, who, in perfect Peter and John fashion, race back to the tomb because, you know, they're always one-upping each other, you've noticed, with the disciples, to see what had really happened. But this year, I thought it might be nice to do things a little differently, and instead of shifting away from Mary and turning to Peter and John, I wanted to stick with Mary for a while. But I also want to go back in time to before the crucifixion, before any of the things that happened in Holy Week, and consider the experience and the relationship that Mary Magdalene had with Jesus. In Luke, we meet Mary around Luke 8. At that point, Luke's telling us that Jesus is traveling around, and he's sharing the good news, and he's healing people, and he's traveling with the apostles. He's traveling with some people that he had healed. And among those were some women also, one of them being Mary of Magdala. That's how her last name's not Magdalene. She's from Magdala. And he had freed her from 7 demons. Mary had had more than an encounter with Jesus. Mary had an experience of Jesus. She had been held prisoner, held captive by something, by 7 somethings, as we see it in the scripture. And Jesus had healed her and brought her back to life. Jesus was great at bringing people back to life, right? And sometimes we can be fully physically alive and yet spiritually dead. Being held captive and possessed by 7 demons, I suspect, is very much a bringing back to life. And she was so transformed in her experience of Jesus that she traveled with him the rest of his days. She never left him. She didn't even leave him after he passed. She went with them to the garden, and she returned to the garden. And as we see them in the garden, we know in this moment at the tomb that Jesus had never left her either. What would it have been like to be Mary before? You ever been held captive by something? Held tightly by something of the world? Not necessarily captive like someone's grabbed you or you're in jail, but something. Anger, greed, pride, addiction, negativity, a grudge. Captive by something. Have you ever been held captive and then been freed of your captivity? Enough to actually recognize that, hey, you know what? I just realized I haven't been carrying that on my shoulders anymore. And when you are free and you feel that weight come on, that old dead skin leave you and you're no longer part of that, it's life-changing if you've ever been stuck. If you've ever experienced anything like this, you know that it is deeply personal and individual. You know that it is deeply emotional. And if you were lucky enough and had the presence of mind enough to recognize Jesus' hand in your liberation, then you know it was deeply, deeply spiritual. I have had many transformational moments in my life, and every one of those moments has been a part of my journey into ministry and into where I am today. But I can't say, I'm not one of those people that can say I have one moment in my life that just completely changed my life, and that was the moment that I said, oh, I'm never going to work anywhere else but in a church. But mine's been a slow journey. And so I'm always moved by the people who have those stories of that complete, instantaneous change. There was one such testimony that I heard, very powerful, and unfortunately I can't remember the name of the guy who told his story. I met him in a class several years ago at the Church of the Resurrection, and he was sitting beside me. We had the student desks, and he was sitting beside me, and we'd been in class all week together, and then towards the end of the week, he got up and he gave his testimony about how he came to be in this class in the United Methodist Church to work in ministry. And he said, when he was young, when he was a little boy, he lived in a home that was extremely abusive. They were horribly abusive to his body, and his humans who were raising him abused and sold illegal substances. And the single-digit age range, he joined a gang and began to abuse substances himself. And he began to sell them so that he could have the money to strike out on his own. And at the ripe old age of 14, he ran away because he thought he was better off. And he admits that he was a mess, but he thought he was doing great because he was doing better than the people who raised him. Well, as an adult, a friend invited him to go to Mass with him. And he didn't just invite him. I think they worked together, if I recall correctly, and he didn't just invite him, he invited him and invited him and invited him and invited him. And he said, I got so sick of being nagged, I finally said, if I agree to go, will you quit asking? And so he went. He did not believe in God. He didn't know anything about God. Never had any experience of it. He had no experience, of course, in a church. Never been in a church before. He had no expectations other than to get this guy off his back. He said when he entered the building, he felt something. And as the worship service continued, he just felt this pulling. He had no idea what the words were they were saying or what they were really doing, but he could just feel something inside him being pulled. And when they offered the communion, of course, he had not completed confirmation in the Catholic Church, so he couldn't take communion, but he followed the crowd up and received the blessing. And he said, I had no idea what was happening to me or why I was even bothering to go forward, but when I got there, I bitterly wept. And so he left there, and he never returned to the old life. He became a United Methodist so that he could come to the table and receive communion. And then he became a pastor, and he has begun many ministries in Texas where they have rehab to get kids out of situations like his own. That man had an experience. Like, it's the kind of story you hear and you think, is that even real? How does that even happen? But it changed him in that very moment from all he had ever known into something completely different that is changing the world around him. I believe he was freed of some demons, like Mary was. Mary experienced something, I think, very similar to this man. But she didn't sit by and wonder what to do after Jesus was snatched away from her. She wondered how she could continue to honor him even in his death. So I wonder what it was like to be Mary. I suspect that she experienced joy after he had freed her of the demons. I expect that because she was so close to him and had such an experience with him, that she worried as he talked about his future. I tried to imagine what it would have been like to live through what we call Holy Week, step by step with him, and I can't imagine it. But I suspect she felt fear, anger, frustration that she could change it, shock, and grief. Then as she planned to prepare him to go and do the things that she needed to do at the grave, I suspect she felt that sense of duty, and I think a lot of us can understand that sense of duty, what she needed to do, and a little stress about getting it right, because you only get the one shot. So when she set out that morning, I imagine her experiencing nerves. What was she going to encounter when she got there? What was she going to do about it? How was she going to deal with each thing? I don't expect there's any way to imagine what she experienced when she got there. The morning was cool. It was still fairly dark, but Mary could see enough to make the journey. She was highly aware of all of her senses, every sound. She could hear the murmuring of the other women. She could feel the weight of her basket that contained all of the wrappings and the spices. She felt the breeze on her face, and her face was cool and her skirts swept behind her. And although they were walking quietly, she could hear the earth crunch beneath their feet. As she beheld the garden in front of her, she thought, this would be such a beautiful place if I was here for any other reason. She'd been thinking all throughout the Sabbath, what were they going to do about the rock? Would we find a big enough stick? Would the several of us women be strong enough to pry that stick under the rock and get it to move? If not, I guess we'll have to go back and get the men. She was so distracted by all of these thoughts when she first entered the garden and saw that the stone had been rolled away. She thought for a minute maybe she was seeing things. Maybe it was just wishful thinking. But then she really looked and it is gone. Oh, hallelujah, we don't have to do that. Oh, what a relief. Oh, but why is it gone? Who moved it? How? Then she looked a little closer and she realized she couldn't see anything inside the cave. And that brief moment of excitement and wonder and, oh, yay, the rock is gone. And she felt her stomach drop. She felt really sick at her stomach, in fact. And her heart was racing. And she ran to the young man that she saw in the garden. That poor young man, she was full of questions. How, where, who, why? She was begging this poor guy to know any of the answers. He didn't even seem to worry. In fact, he was more than calm. He was beautiful, really. She could feel herself settling down, and yet she was still worried. Then the beautiful gardener opened his mouth and he said something profound. Mary. That freedom that she felt when Jesus freed her spirit so many months ago in comparison to this, oh, the joy more complete. She felt a rush of heat go into her face. It was no longer cold from the wind. There were tears streaming down her cheeks, not fearful tears. This was unimaginable joy, freeing joy. A whole different kind of freedom than she had ever known before took hold of Mary's heart. This was not the same man that she knew that had freed her from her earthly demons. This was the risen Savior. This was God, In the flesh, Jesus spoke to her again, and he said, remember what I told you in Galilee? That the Son of Man would be handed over to the sinners, crucified, and rise again on the third day. She did remember now, and it all made such perfect and wonderful and marvelous sense to her. The Savior that she met while he was traveling to testify, the one who had set her free, had now set the entire world free. That's all of you and me. And now Mary would need to share her experience and use what she had experienced of Jesus to tell others. She was a Christ follower. She had to bring that good news. Well, Mary started her ministry by telling the 11, and they didn't believe her. They used a word in the ancient scripture called leros. Leros means fanciful tale or showy but worthless words. Ouch, huh? If you share your testimony and somebody calls it leros. So typically on Easter morning, we think about Mary and then transfer immediately over to Peter and John. But I wanted to stick with Mary today and linger even in this moment here when she goes back to tell the 11 about her experience, and they didn't believe her. And don't get me wrong, if I'd have been one of those guys and somebody came in and told me that the person we saw who died 3 days ago and had been dead, which meant truly and dead, you know, after 3 days, had come back to life, what would you have said? No way! Shut the front door. Get out of here with those idle words. That's why it is important to linger here with Mary. Because I wonder if she felt discounted, discouraged, if her feelings were hurt. Did she only gain her confidence when they went back and confirmed what she said? See, we believe that Mary stayed in Galilee and was one of the very first people in the Christ movement after he was gone. So today we celebrate what Easter means for all of us. It means a different kind of freedom, the kind of freedom that Mary experienced both at that time when Jesus released her of her earthly demons and, oh, so wonderfully at the tomb. We have that freedom. We have the hope, the love, and the grace in all of these. But it also means for us, friends, I'm so sorry, we don't get to sit here quietly. We like to sit quietly, don't we? I ask you questions and you go, chirp, chirp, crickets chirping, you know. No, we're not meant to be idle. We are meant to be the Marys. Mary was not idle. She shared her experience, even though she'd been discounted. We are meant to share ours too, even if it means that we have to share our demons in the process. Sometimes we're not as willing to get up and say anything because we're afraid people will say it's leros. Hard to believe. Fancy words, meaningless. Where would we be without that guy from Texas who shared his story? And he's just a guy from Texas like any of us. We have an experience with Jesus, and we are called, oh, we are called to share that, to tell that, to proclaim that, to be the Pat Kellys of the world who changed the world. We are called. So I encourage you to tell your story, whatever it is. Tell your experience, even if it's going to sound far-fetched to someone else. Because the truth is that the resurrection didn't stop that day at the tomb. It moved with Mary. It moved with Peter. It moved with the early church, and it moves in the church today. It moves you. So every time you share love instead of hate, speak truth instead of hiding in fear. Each time you choose to rely on hope, grace, or healing, you are the living proof of the resurrection and that the power of Christ is real. So please, friends, tell your story. Speak your truth. Be the witness, even if someone calls it leros. You know better. You've seen inside the tomb. Maybe you've heard your name in the garden. And you felt the warmth of freedom. Jesus lives, and because he lives, So do you. Let's pray. Holy Lord, we thank you that on days like today, when we could be sad about the things that we've lost, we can find joy because you live, so do we. Not only do we live above the demons here because you set us free while we are here on earth, but we can rejoice that the people that we have loved and lost are still alive in glory with you. And one day, Lord, we will see them again. Lord, thank you for the hope that we have in you, the love that we have in you. Lord, is now Leros. Let us rely on you and have confidence in it. Thank you, Lord, for this Easter morning. In your name we pray. Amen.